Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Or is he back? Alex Anzalone back? We can't really know the answer to that question. Everybody that is, like Dan Campbell talked about it with the morning show. Ben Johnson talked about it when he met with the media on Wednesday. The approach is, we'll see how the week goes. And so we'll try and get a sense from Birchie at 12:30 how the week has gone. But we're going to go here with our predictions on this one. I'm going to guess that he's back, but sort of second fiddle back. And we talked about it yesterday a little bit. It's great to have him back. And this might be as simple as, all right, here's the football, David. What do you got? Oh, I like what I see. Here's the football again. Oh, here you go a third time. Or it might just be they go in with a plan that is 50-50, or they go in a plan with, I mean, Kang and I were talking yesterday about 75-25. And it's no knock against David Montgomery. I might be the same way. If everything were inverted and Jahmyr Gibbs were the player that was banged up and David Montgomery had just been the showcased back and been NFC Offensive Player of the Month, I'd probably be saying the same thing about Gibbs. Okay, what does he got? You know, kind of prove it before he plays a bigger role in this game.
Yeah, I think he's going to get the ball more than you guys think, but I also don't think it's going to be back to the you know, when they were in the prime earlier in the season when they were both completely healthy. But it doesn't matter. Whatever they do is going to be what's best for the team. That you can be sure of. And if that means that it's, hey, Jahmyr Gibbs is on a heater, you don't change it up, then don't change it up. But I don't think that's how the Lions operate. I think the Lions have always kind of operated with these two backs that they alternate series unless they've carried a heavy workload on the one series and the guy comes out for a play and then he'll end up coming back in. But I would imagine that Gibbs is going to get more series than Montgomery will, and they'll get more touches. But I don't know. I think it's more like a 60-40 kind of split, but we'll see. And either way, it's going to be for the betterment of the team.
The other injury news is that Kevin Zeitler is officially listed now as out. Okay, so there's a few things about that. One is, we have to ask the question, how big of a deal is this? That the starting guard that was brought in and really helped solidify the line is out for this game. Last year when the Lions played San Francisco in the NFC title game, Graham Glasgow was out for that game. How big of a deal was that? Well, they lost the game, but the running backs averaged over 5.1 yards per carry. Goff attempted 41 passes. He was sacked twice and pressured only 7 times. So I'm not so sure Graham Glasgow sitting out last year in the NFC title game actually had any impact whatsoever. I don't think the stats would support that it had much impact. There might be some subtleties, a run play that got blown up because Coyote Owusika was in there. But the overall totality doesn't feel like it was a huge factor in the game.
No, and earlier this year, Mahogany had to come in and play.
Against Minnesota.
Yeah, and they're just fine. I'm not concerned about that at all. I think the way things have gone, at least the way we've read things and things have been reported, it seems like that Mahogany's trending up. First of all, he's getting the nod over Owusika. So what does that tell you?
Well, it tells you a lot. And it goes back to, you know, the next level of this analysis of having Christian Mahogany starting in an NFC divisional playoff game, getting the nod over not only Owusika against Minnesota was inactive and Michael Neese was active. But Mahogany's getting the call over all of them. So let's talk about this. Is this another Brad Holmes special? This is a rookie sixth round pick that they are plugging into the starting lineup in a massive football game. This was the Lions' last pick of the draft. This is a guy that went 210th in the draft that has been given this responsibility. And look, it may go disastrously. It may. I mean, there's no reason to believe that. You know, he only played five snaps in that Minnesota game. When Zeitler got hurt, it was late in the game, and Mahogany came in. He was the guy that they put in there. But he's obviously, when he's been given run, and he has been this season, he's done well enough that they put him back out there. This could be what we could be seeing here. Could be. Is the early stages of another draft special by our draft ninja, Brad Holmes.
Yeah, it could be. I think that this is what they envision. When they draft offensive linemen later in the draft, they're projects, and you're expecting them at some point to step up and be usable offensive linemen. And I think that's what they have here. That's what they envisioned with Kobe Soresdahl, I think Mahogany, and certainly with Manu, that these guys eventually, hopefully, can step into starting roles in a couple of years. And that's why they sign guys to maybe 1 or 2 year deals. That's why you're not going crazy with a Zeitler signing.
You're talking about veterans.
Yeah.
You probably signed veterans.
Exactly.
Deals. Yeah.
So that's the hope, that these guys will be like that. And the only time is going to tell when you see that. But I know that the coach has said great things about Mahogany. Players are saying great things about Mahogany. So let's get a look. I mean, he did play, 65 snaps against the Bears.
He hasn't played much more than that this year, has he?
I have a snap count in front of me. He's only played in 7 games. And
how many on offense? Do you have that breakdown by chance?
Yeah. He's only played 75 snaps on offense. 65 came against the Bears.
Game, yeah.
But did well. You know, the Bears have some players on defense, so I'm fine with that. I think that this is a guy that they really, truly believe in.
I'm all in on him, and I'll call it right now. I think he's the guy to replace Zeitler. I think Zeitler might be done after this season. He's making one last run at the Super Bowl with the Lions, but I think that was the ultimate goal when they drafted Mahogany. He had an illness or some injury the first half
mono.
Of this year. Yeah, I mean, they had to get him healthy, number one, and then get him reps, number two. And I think the only thing he really is lacking right now is experience. I think I have all the trust in the world in him. The small sample size he's played this year, if you look at the tape and things like that, he's done really well, man. He looks like he's got the skill set to be another great interior lineman and plug and play, hopefully, you know. And this is, I'll go with it, Doug, it's a Brad Holmes special once again. Late round pick that can be a really good player.
It's pretty telling that he is getting this responsibility. Biggest game of the year. They've got veterans. They've got guys who've played in this situation before. And Christian Mahogany is likely to get the start here. So this is really, really telling. And it feels like it is trending towards another Brad Holmes special. Meanwhile, on the injury front in Washington, Bobby Wagner did not practice yesterday. So if we get into thing, not a thing, is this a thing?
I mean, according to Adam Schefter yesterday, he was limited in practice, and he was going to play on Saturday. So
he was listed in their official practice report as did not practice. So for whatever that's worth, if he can't play or is limited by the injury, how big of a deal is it? It feels like it's a pretty damn big deal because he's their captain. He's their leading tackler. And it's hard to say that there wasn't a straight line between the Lions' performance defensively last week and Alex Anzalone's return.
Yeah, I hear you. And with Wagner, he's got a high ankle sprain. So those are tricky. That's typically not a week-to-week thing. You know, you'd like to have several weeks off because the high ankle sprain is one of those things that linger, and he's playing through it. And, you know, be interesting to hear from TJ or from Jansen if they've had one of those. You know, how effective are you under medication and tape jobs until it starts to wear off and the pain really sets in? Like, how many plays are you good for? I can't imagine you're good for the whole game feeling really good. At some point, you are tolerating pain, and it's about pain tolerance.
Okay, so will the Lions be able to run the ball against this Washington defense that hasn't been a great run defense all year? What they did last week against Tampa is I don't think it's telling in any way, but it's also scary. If you are Tampa, you went into this game. When I was looking at it, I'm thinking, this could be a huge day for Bucky Irving, and it wasn't. Washington did a good job against him. Again, the metrics, the bulk of the season, the feedback we've gotten from the Washington defense is that the Lions should be able to run the ball. They should be able to run the ball.
Yeah, only two teams did worse in yards per game on the ground than Washington. That was New Orleans and Carolina.
Than Tampa did?
Only two teams gave up more yards per game rushing.
Okay, I'm sorry. All right. Than
Washington's
defense. I thought you were talking about Tampa's output last week.
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're bad. By the full season metrics, what they did last week against Tampa was out of character. And to be quite frank, I don't think it changes the approach at all. I think you still try to force feed him the football on the ground.
Well, I mean, Bucky Irving did average 4.5 yards a carry.
How many total yards did he have?
77 on 17 carries. They ran it 25 times. They didn't have the ball. You know, they threw the ball 18 times and they ran it 25.
How many catches did he have out of the backfield?
He had two and was targeted twice.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I see that he's there like Jahmyr Gibbs. And I would think if they do to Jahmyr Gibbs tomorrow, depending on how much opportunity David Montgomery has, what they did to Bucky Irving, I think they'd be pretty happy.
They would be ecstatic about that. Yeah. But it's, I don't think the Lions are only going to throw the ball 18 times. I don't think they're going to have only 43 plays on offense.
Got to move the chains. Got to move the chains. If they have only 43 plays, let's hope it's because they had a lot of 2- and 3-play drives that went the distance.
Yeah. And look, Bucky Irving's had a really good season this year, right? Yeah. He had 1,100 yards rushing, 5.4 per carry, 8 touchdowns. That's great. Pales in comparison what Jahmyr Gibbs did, and Jahmyr Gibbs was split in time.
Yeah, so this is again something I would absolutely still test their run defense.
100%.
And their pass defense, it's, you know, they've had to shuffle their secondary a little bit with Marshawn Lattimore, who's been banged up. He's back and I guess practicing this whole week. Let me just double check that. I thought he was full practice. Yeah, full practice Wednesday and Thursday. He did not full practice last week leading into the Tampa game. So odds are he's going to be healthier and probably better. Mikey Sainristal has moved outside. They are good in the secondary there. So they might have to go against their slot corner, Noah Igbinoghene, who's a fourth-year player, and he's been good, but he might be the weak link there to go at. So that's the great thing about the Lions offense is they have multiple weapons that if somebody says, we're going to do everything away, take away Amon-Ra, other guys can beat you.
Well, teams didn't throw the ball for that many yards against Washington, but it did mean that doesn't mean that they weren't successful against Washington. The Commanders gave up a quarterback rating of 93.9, which is in the bottom half of the league. They also gave up 25 touchdown passes and only had 7 interceptions. So, again, those numbers would favor the Lions because the Lions' offense is so good. It is so prolific, and particularly in passing the football, they do just fine. I like this matchup against Washington. I know Jaden Daniels is good. I know he's really good. I have the utmost respect for Terry McLaurin. I think Zach Ertz has found himself in his offense, and it looks good. And they can run the ball a little bit, but I don't think they have enough horses offensively. They're really putting everything on the shoulders of the rookie quarterback. And I hate to even say rookie because that means like I'm expecting him to make big time mistakes.
Rookie things.
And I'm not going to say that because he hasn't played like that. He's played like an excellent quarterback in this league, and I know he's dangerous. I just don't think that they can stack drive after drive after drive to match what the Lions can do against their defense. And I think there's going to be a decent separation at some point in the second half. And we're going to breathe easier.
Which is what we will preview next. What is it like when Washington has the football? What are some of the things to look for? We'll get into that in more depth at 10:47. Plus your open line calls, your feedback. Predictions start at 11 here on 97.1 The Ticket. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Open lines, 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. Look, Lions taking on the Commanders. We've talked a little bit about what happens when the Lions have the football. What about when the Commanders have the football? I think something that I've kind of discounted this week, and I'm not sure I should. Have we underplayed Brian Robinson in the running game? Now, he did nothing against Tampa. And quite frankly, the last five games, he's been under 3 yards per carry. But the Commanders' 5 yards per carry this season was better than the Lions. 154 yards per game on the ground was better than the Lions. And Austin Eckler's still good. Now, their leading rusher's their quarterback. Well,
that's the thing. There you go.
And so maybe we shouldn't discount Brian Robinson. But I'm somewhat underwhelmed in watching them. And I'm like, okay, is this as simple as Daniels? Is the run game as simple as containing Jaden Daniels?
Well, it's interesting because it's like everybody but Brian Robinson is and that Brian Robinson at 4.3, there's nothing wrong with it. But no. Every other running back there is averaging more per carry. You know, it's a team that ran for 2,600 yards this year. Are we underplaying it? No, I think we've appropriately mentioned Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler throughout the week. And we know that Jaden Daniels is the guy. He leads the team. We've said it every time that he leads the team in rushing. You have to be wary of that, for sure. But the Lions are pretty good against the run. They were much better earlier when they had a healthier team with Aleem McNeil in the middle of that and, you know, Aiden Hutchinson for the first few games this season. But they're still pretty good. I'm not... Austin Eckler is the one that concerns me more than Brian Robinson because Austin Eckler is the weapon out of the backfield. He's the guy that catches the short passing game. If you want to bring the blitz, and I think that they're going to probably blitz Jaden Daniels quite a bit. If you're going to do that, you got to make sure that you account for the running back who's going to slip off into the flat there or just, you know, wait for the screen pass or the outlet pass or whatever it is and be the dump-off guy because that's going to happen. And hopefully Anzalone's there ready for it or Jack Campbell's ready for it or Melifamu is ready to blow him up. But I think that's going to be a big focus of the Lions is the short passing game. Yeah, you got to pay attention to McLaurin without question. But that's what you lock him up with whatever it is going to be. It's going to be Amik Robertson, or is it going to be Terrion Arnold? I imagine it's going to be Robertson with some help. Because that's who you got to stop. But beyond him, it's the short passing game.
Which might, you know, go back to Alex Anzalone's impact on this defense, which earlier this week, when asked the single biggest place that he impacted the team upon his return, Dan Campbell said in coverage. And so that could put him in the focus. In the meantime, the last time the Lions played a playoff game and lost it, I keep going back to a third down play on San Francisco's drive that kind of sealed the game. San Francisco, I think it was 27-24 at the time. It's fourth quarter. It's third down and medium. Brock Purdy drops back to pass. He's got nobody to throw to. Pocket collapsing. Lions get a shot at him. He escapes the pocket, escapes the rush, and goes for 21 yards. And that's one of those plays that was the stop that they needed to make to get the football back so that they had the ball late down 3 instead of had the ball late down 10. And that's a play that's kind of haunting in retrospect. And now, you know, they're going up against a quarterback who's more mobile. And that's, you know, Dan Campbell's quote this week when, you know, the whole idea that running quarterbacks give this defense problems. And he said, show me a defense that doesn't. And I tend to subscribe to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you travel around and you hear enough sports talk in enough towns, you hear the quote, well, running quarterbacks give our defense problems. Yep. Everybody believes that. And it's such a huge thing is when that key play needs to be made, can the Lions keep Daniels from making it?
Yeah. Can he answer it? Is it all that they have from an offensive standpoint? With Washington, it's not. Like back with the Bears when, you know, Justin Fields was running all over the place, I mean, that was their offense. They didn't have much else because he wasn't really throwing anywhere else. And at the time, they didn't have many weapons. But Justin Fields, it would be embarrassing to see him run for 160, 170 yards. It's the quarterback. What are you doing? Well, he's capable of that. Jaden Daniels is capable of ripping off a bunch of big plays, and I expect that he will. But you put yourself into that bend but don't break defense mode, and like you've said a lot, give up field goals and not touchdowns. I don't care. I don't care if he runs for 120 yards as long as the touchdown column says zero. Good on you, man. Hey, you got all those yards. Nice job. How many points did you get? Oh, you settled for three. Oh, okay.
Well, and that's the thing. Every stop that this defense makes should be celebrated like an offensive touchdown.
And then the offense needs to do what they have to do.
Because I feel like with the Lions offense, when you get a stop, to me, that's the equivalent of that NASCAR driver that's about to get lapped by the leader. And when you get lapped by the leader, you're done. You got to stay on the lead lap. And I think that's what you have to try and do if you are a team playing the Lions. You offensively have to stay on the lead lap. You can't get two scores down. Every stop, when the Lions come up with a stop, even if they give up 3 points, high five, man, celebrate it. It should be met with roars at Ford Field. These are your defensive scores. These are the plays that win you games. And it's one of the things that's made the Lions successful, in spite of various defensive flaws, best third down defense in the NFL.
I'm about to ask you a question that I'm struggling with myself based what I've said earlier in the week about this game, but I think I have a pretty firm flag plant to what I would do here. If the Lions win the coin toss, mm-hmm. what do you do?
I'd probably put the offense on the field. I mean, I love having control of the middle eight, which has become a point of emphasis in the NFL, is winning the middle eight, the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. And that can be manipulated when you know you're getting the football to start the second half. But I want to start trying to lap them from moment one.
Kang, what would you do win the toss?
I would defer because this is a Kang thing no matter what. I want to get back-to-back possessions if I can, which means, you know, you end the first half with the ball, you get to have that ball to start the second half. That's my reasoning for it. I always want to do the double dip.
Earlier in the week, I want the team needs to get off to a big start, and if Washington is kind of a slow-starting team now, the way they're playing, but they finish really strong, I think I want the ball in the second half, to start the second half. Trust the defense that they get the job done to start the game, and that the offense will be fine. But I like the middle eight mentality, or at the very least, starting the second half mm-hmm. to expand the lead or to catch up if you're in that situation.
I mean, it all comes down to it's a great decision if you take the ball and score the first drive or defer and get a stop the first drive, right? Yeah. I mean, it's so much is dependent on. And look,
that's a win.
And that's, yeah, it's a huge win. It's like, aha, we've already got you. But then there's the, like, it's a factor. If the Lions get the football and don't score early, people are immediately going to go, oh, there's rust. There's rust. And I don't really believe in that. I really don't. Not for this team under these circumstances.
The Lions are like the highest scoring team in the second quarter in the league. Sometimes, you know, it takes them a little bit to go in, but that second quarter, they usually erupt. And I think being at home is a big thing too, guys. In San Francisco last year, when things started to kind of fall apart a little bit, they couldn't get momentum back. And I think being at home, it's going to be, if things don't go perfectly for them, they can get that momentum back easier with the crowd on their side. You know what I'm saying? So if they don't start off as fast as you hope they do, Doug, mm-hmm. being at home, I think, helps that. When you're on the road and things start unraveling, that's when things get in your head a little bit.
It feels like they've gained so much experience since yes. the loss to San Francisco.
Absolutely.
I mean, they played in every situation. They've come across a ton of obstacles and challenges with injuries and just in-game situations, and they've responded. You know, I have to go back and look at and see what the score was against Dallas when Hutch got hurt, and how did they respond after that, you know, or how they responded to other injuries when guys got hurt. And they just... I think they've met all these challenges head on, and they've gone through just about everything you can go through and been better because of it. And that game last year against San Francisco, that memory is burned into their soul about losing. And, you know, it wasn't just a couple things that went wrong. It was a lot went wrong all consecutively in the third quarter of that football game last year that they will never forget.
248-539-9797. Table set. Lions Commanders Saturday night. For those of you that follow us on Twitter, you might already sound it off. And if you have responded to it, there's a good chance we're going to read it on the air. So hear your prediction coming up. It's a Carson Anderson prediction Friday. Lions and Commanders. Lions favored by 8.5. Who will win the game? What will the score be? And what will the storyline of this game be? What is going to be our big talking point come Monday? We'll get to your predictions next. Let's hear from you. We record these and then we revisit it on Monday's show and see who did the best, who was the most wise. 248-539-9797. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, Kang behind the glass, Kenny answering phones.